the mystery in the Bible from the Tanakh days was never revealed is that the Goyim would come into the kingdom of God before Messiah comes. Now, everybody taught that after Messiah comes, the whole world is the kingdom, because so that includes the nations. But not before Mashiach comes was there ever supposed to be Goyim in the kingdom. And so this is the mystery that was revealed at Shavuot or Pentecost, and it was pictured prophetically by the two loaves that we did the wave offering last Sunday over there, the two loaves of leavened bread representing two people groups that are sinful, Jew and Gentile. Okay, so that is the mystery revealed as it talks about in Ephesians. But what I wanted to comment here a little bit, because we only have like 10 minutes, is in Acts 1:4, we have Acts 2, of course, as you all know, is the Pentecost situation. When this Pentecost happened in Jerusalem, it needed explained because nobody had a clue. And there still today is a need of an explanation. But how do you explain the Holy Spirit? It's not so easy, right? But in Acts 4:4, Yeshua said, as he is going to depart after 40 days of being with the disciples after the resurrection on Sefirot HaOmer, he says, do not leave Yerushalayim until the promise of the Father comes. And so we have this 10-day period where the disciples are together and the upper room people and praying and all together before this Shavuot happened, and which isn't a very long time for them to wait, but that's from the Ascension until Shavuot, it was about a 10-day period. And so I had to ask myself, what was Shimon doing for these 10 days? What was Simon Peter doing for these 10 days? Remember, he was the one that screwed up the worst, especially at the end when he denies Yeshua face to face. And Yeshua has to reinstate him, remember, at the end of John with that sermon that we can't have time for now. What was Peter doing? And I believe he was preparing his message because he had the keys of the kingdom, remember? And the first key was used in at Shavuot there at the temple courtyard. Okay, so it's fascinating. Peter stands up and addresses the crowd. Now, I was thinking about this morning because how long had the Holy Spirit fallen and people hearing all this going on in their own languages and seeing flames of fire on people and the sound of wind blowing and all this miraculous stuff going on? How long had this all been going on before Shimon stands up? And it probably was a couple hours because they're all drunk in the Ruach. And it took time for everybody to gather and hear all the messages given in their own languages. So here this episode has been boiling up on Temple Mount for maybe 5 hours. But it would be an intense event, right? And then Shimon stands up. And what were the people saying? It says here in Acts, how is it that we hear? And it lists all these different areas that people came from for the pilgrimage feast. The serious ones, God-fearing Jews from all over, from at least Rome, clear to India. Jews came for Shavuot. And so here they all are in the temple courtyards and proselytes. Gerim in Hebrew is proselyte. And they all hear their own language. But what were they hearing in their own language? It says in the text that these people were declaring all the wonders of God in all these other languages, in their own languages. And it was obvious to everybody there that the people declaring the wonders of God are all Galileans. These guys are all local people. And so how can this be? And why aren't they consumed? There's fire. And where is this wind coming from? So put yourself in that situation for a couple hours. And at this point, you're rubbing dents in your forehead. Because this is a miraculous event and we have no explanation. Nahum? And how do you know if a spiritual event, and this the twin can use this when he's addressing his fundamentalist friends, and you can use it also, and you can also use the context of it to not do the wrong thing. But how do you know if some crazy spiritual thing is of God or of the devil? I mean, isn't that what always happens when you get around crazy charismatic and these revivals? You had the laughter and all these things. How do you know if this is God or not? And the answer is God being glorified? Or is some hot dog minister being glorified? Or some ministry being glorified? Or is it all the glory just going to Him? See, if the glory is going to Him, you can trust it. And it says right in this text that they were all declaring the wonders of Hashem. All the glory was going to Him. And so this allows you to relax, and it comes through fallen people. They're not going to be perfect. But if they're giving the glory to God, well, don't worry about it. Don't have a cow. Right? So this is why I believe this is in this text. The first charismatic, crazy event says they were declaring the wonders of God. Very important. And if you're not a crazy charismatic, you know, you can join in that crowd. But don't be the flaky one where you're doing your own thing to get your own attention and not glorifying God. And the rule of thumb, whenever you're in a charismatic thing and something, you're going to do something, or is make it short. Have mercy on everybody. Okay. All right. On that Acts 2 day, no one could condemn what was going on because all of them were hearing Hashem be glorified. So they knew this was not the devil. Even though there was no theology around for this, there was no 1 Corinthians to turn to for this. But now Peter boldly stands up and tells everyone, listen to me. And it's like, hello, listen to me. I am going to explain this. And everybody's going, finally, we're going to get an explanation. Oh, God, thank you, Peter. Now, where did Peter get this message? He's going to quote Tanakh, Yoel, and Psalms. So I think in that 10-day period, he knew what was coming, and he knew he had the keys, so he prepared a little bit. Don't you think he probably prepared a little bit? Because if you look at the message that he gives, it is a great sermon, right? So first of all, he starts out with, these men aren't drunk as ye suppose. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Hello, common sense in the midst of a spiritual outbreak. Common sense. That's something refreshing. So he says, this is that. And I love that. This is that. I'd like a t-shirt. This is that. This is what was spoken of. And now he's going to reveal the explanation by quoting Yoel, Nevi Yoel. And the first thing he does here is he quotes like 5 verses of Joel. And so this would take some preparation. But it says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all people. And you know the verses. And so He's going to pour out His Spirit on people. And I will pour out My Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And now in verse 19 through 20, the text in Yoel jumps 1,985 years at least. Because it's, and blood and fire, and the moon will turn to blood and before the great and coming day of the Lord. So it goes from 10 days after the ascension to the second coming in Yoel there. But everybody knew these verses. But then back in 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the conclusion of Yoel. This is salvation. This is the salvation of the Lord. Okay, so now in verse 22, it says, men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua the Netzer. Yeshua the Netzer. The first thing in the message after he quotes a prophecy from Yoel concerning what is you're looking at now, he says, and it's Yeshua, the Netzer, the Nazarene. So right away, what are you going to say? You're going to say, this is what Joel spoke of, and it's this Yeshua guy that you know. Okay? Because it says, as you know. He was accredited to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This was not a misunderstanding. This was not a mystery. The things that Yeshua did was well known everywhere. And so as we continue here, and verse 23, it's cool because it says, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Oh, Hello, what has happened here? Peter got the plan. No one, remember, clear through the Gospels, clear through the execution of Yeshua, no one understood the plan. There's not a word in any of the Bible that anybody had any idea what was going on. Not one person. They had to see him walk through their wall, risen from the dead, before they believed. So now Peter stands up and says, this is the plan of God, that he would be handed over and killed and then raised from the dead. So he's teaching the plan that he has now only understood for a few weeks. Remember when the plan came to him, he said, get behind me, or not so, Lord, get behind me, Satan. Peter didn't know the plan. Now he's teaching the plan. Okay, for God's plan. Now you get it, the plan. Okay, raised from the dead. And then he quotes more from the Tanakh in verse 24. David said about this. But look, he quotes from the Tanakh and then goes down to verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. Right by Temple Mount, maybe a quarter mile, maybe, I don't know if it's that far, is Mount Zion, where we all went last week to David's tomb. And when this happened, David's tomb was there, and people would pray at it. And they're still at David's tomb praying at it. And we were there at David's tomb praying at it. And Peter mentions that spot. But the point is, David died, and he's still in the grave. Now, you don't get any higher than Melech David in Israel, except his son, which is Mashiach. Okay? So see how he's slamming the theology of the day here. And now he says, in verse 30, he says, David was a prophet. Now, you don't hear that very often. David was Melech David, King David, King David. Here, the first sermon of the church age, David was a prophet. And not just king. So seeing ahead, David spoke of the resurrection of Mashiach. And then he quotes that. For God has raised Yeshua to life, and we are... Now, look at this in the text. Yeshua has been raised from the dead. Everybody there is listening because this whole event has happened, and they're getting the explanation of what's going on. Yeshua has been raised from the dead, and we're witnesses. We have seen the Messiah alive after he was handed over and put to death. Now, this is some kind of a message, okay? We are witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was, and poured out his promised Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, is the explanation of what you see here. He was dead, he rose, he gave his spirit, it poured out, and that is this. This is that. And so that is the explanation. So you got to get the text here. He's building up with this message, and everybody is listening. Now, there may be 4,000 people there, and they're all wondering what's going on. And so he just tells them what's going on, and he says, and Jesus was raised from the dead and went to the right hand of God and poured out his spirit, and this is the explanation of what you see right here. I mean, can you imagine how wound up he was? He was like, oh, man. He's got it. But as all good preachers, that was his conclusion, but he didn't stop. And so I won't either. For I am a descendant of Shimon. See, he says, poured out in what you now see and hear. This is the explanation, verse 34. For David did not ascend to heaven. David didn't. And yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool for my feet. Ah, power. What was I teaching here a month or two ago? The whole issue of every man and woman who's ever lived still to this day. This is the verse that Yeshua used on Israel at the end of his ministry, where he says, what do you think of Messiah? What do you say of him? He's son of David. Then why does David call him Lord? You would never call your son your God. And so the question initiated in the Gospels is now re-quoted in the first message of the church. The message that Yeshua used was this: Messiah, son of David, is he God? And here it comes again in the first message to the church. Is he God? And Shimon answers, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, Lord and Mashiach. The first message of the church, of the church age, is Yeshua is God. And then he did stop his message. So that is the ultimate question today and in Israel today with all of our Jewish friends. It is still the issue, burning in the hearts and souls of mankind. And it won't be long where that question will be answered once again, as every eye will see. They got it. They said, what do we do? And he goes, repent. Repent of what? Every sin you did, we'd still be there. Repent of unbelief. Believe and be baptized into this new thing, this new body, this new thing called the ecclesia, or the church in Greek. And so this is the church's first sermon. Yeshua is God. The Holy Spirit has been given. So the whole conclusion is, get in it. Get in it. Get on board. Repent of your unbelief and join Yeshua HaMashiach. And 3,000 did that very thing. And then that message went into the entire earth. And now 1985, 86 years, maybe 86 and a half years later, that message is still going forth. But now all eyes are once again on that very exact spot that this took place in Jerusalem on Temple Mount. And the second, those two verses in Yoel are now about to come true, and that'll finish Peter's message that started so long ago. So we're blessed to be involved in the first part and the last part. Yah Varekaka Adonai Vayishmereka. Ye Ir Adonai Panavaleka Vichunaka. Yisa Adonai Panavaleka Vayaseim Laka Shalom. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sarha Shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. And amen. Shabbat Shalom.